Welcome. We are going to dismiss our elementary. Junior high is with us today. No candy, sorry guys, and no books for you. We're just going to have to trust that you're like ready to rock and roll with us. I know you guys are going to be awesome. So we're going to dismiss our elementary. We're going to pray over them and just commission them and the teachers who are prepared to teach them. But before we do that, or as a part of doing that, I want to just take some time just between you and the Lord right now, okay? So let's go before the Lord, okay? And I just want to invite you into a few things right now. We get busy, we get ready, we get dressed, we deal with all the things it takes to get to church. And I just want to invite you right now to lay that stuff down and be present before the Lord. Just center yourself before the Lord. And then I want to invite you to go to your heart and ask the question, what are you wanting from the Lord this morning? What would you like to get in this conversation that we're about to go into? Would you like to get a taste of Him? Would you like to have something today that's more than knowledge? More than, I attended church today. Would you like to have even an encounter with Him? I just want to invite you, if that's what you want, would you whisper that to Him right now? I want a taste of you today. I want to experience you today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come and that you'd bring answer to those prayers. And Lord, we want to surrender our lives to you. So just with me, I give you, Lord, just in your own heart, I give you my body. I give you my mind. I give you my spirit. I give myself over to you, Lord. You are Lord. You deserve lordship of my life. And so I surrender to you my life. And I want to invite you to receive the work of his blood on the cross. Jesus, you died on the cross. Shed your blood so that all of my sin could be washed away. I received that it worked for me. That your blood was payment and somehow I'm now clean. Thank you. I receive it. And then I want to invite you to receive the work of his resurrection. Jesus, you rose from the dead and rose to a new life. And I'm somehow included in that resurrection. And I am now a new creation in you. And I receive that I'm a new creation. I receive that the work of the resurrection makes me a new man, a new woman, more than a conqueror in Christ. I receive it, that it's true, I am new. The old me is dead, I'm now new. And then, Lord, we also receive the work of your ascension, that you are seated above every rule, every power, every spiritual force in the heavenly realms, in the demonic realms. You are above them and in authority over them, and we are seated with you. And so I take my place in that. Just say that. I take my place in that authority now. Again, and I establish now that I'm in authority against all of the enemies that would try to dog me, knock me down, convince me of lies about myself. I command those things to leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, we ask that you'd provide your angels right now to surround us, protect us, and allow us to have time with you together in your word and thinking about you as Father in Jesus' name. Amen. So elementary, you're dismissed. Your leaders are in the back smiling, waving things, cheering for you. And so let's dismiss you guys, and while they're being dismissed, let's run our first slide. Here is a video clip from one of my favorite movies, Indiana Jones.
Well, made it. When we're airborne with Germany behind us, then I'll share that sentiment.
Relax.
in this magazine.
Nein, ich habe ihn nicht gesehen.
Tickets, please. Fahrschein, meine Damen. Bitte.
Guten Tag, Herr Jones.
Fahrschein, mein Herr.
Weg. Tickets, please.
Was?
No ticket.
Sharing your adventures is an interesting experience.
Do you remember the last time we had a quiet drink?
Hmm?
I had a milkshake.
Yeah? What did we talk about?
We didn't talk. We never talked.
Do I detect a rebuke?
A regret. It was just the two of us, Dad. It was a lonely way to grow up. For you, too. If you'd been an ordinary average father like the other guys' dads, you'd have understood that.
Actually, I was a wonderful father.
When?
Did I ever tell you to eat up, go to bed, wash your ears, do your homework? No, I respected your privacy, and I taught you self-reliance.
What you taught me was that I was less important to you than people who'd been dead for 500 years in another country. And I learned it so well that we've hardly spoken for 20 years.
You left just when you were becoming interesting.
Unbelievable.
Dad, how can you... I'm here now. What do you want to talk about?
I can't think of anything.
Then what are you complaining about?
Oh, my favorite part of that scene is that woman who the look on her face when she realizes she has to find her ticket. What was Indy hoping for, you think, in that conversation? What was he wanting? He wanted his father. He wanted interaction from his dad. Good. What else? What was his heart wanting? Validation from his father. What's that mean? Validation. Yeah. I think it almost like it perked up for just a second when his dad said, you know, sharing your adventures, it's interesting. Oh, really? There's something about me that's interesting? That's new in our relationship, which maybe gave him the sort of courage to bring up the story of his life with his dad, right? And he gives it to his dad, and he's asking for what all of us want from our father, right? I'm proud of you. I love you. I see you. You're my delight, right? That validation. And what does Indy get? What's the message that he got? You left just when you were getting interesting. What's the message there? When you were young, you didn't have enough about you to get my interest away from what I was doing. So the distance you felt is your fault. Right? The distance you've experienced is ultimately your fault. Something was wrong with you. which is really interesting because I think that's a great picture of how a lot of people imagine that they would experience God if they were to approach him with their desire for a father's love, right? Is you're not interesting enough to get my attention, or you're not obedient enough or spiritual enough or something enough to get my attention. Or even if you sought me, I probably wouldn't respond to you. I'd respond to Randy or other people who have proven themselves to be really spiritual that I have justified it, but not you. I think a lot of people I've spoken with as a pastor over the years, deep down, they have this feeling that they would get that response from Indy's dad if they turned that part of their heart, the longing for a father's validation, if they could turn that to God, they'd get that. Have you ever experienced a father's delight? I mean, really, a father's face of delight and joy over you. Maybe it wasn't your dad. Maybe it's an uncle or a mentor or just an older man that you may have met, even at church. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, you ever experienced like young fathers when they first have their, you know, they have their firstborn and they're like, you know, Sally's, you know, they just sort of make all over them. They dote over them. Sally's so amazing. She's working on long division and she's only 4, you know, and you know, just that sort of, I've never met anybody that does this more than my friend Rich Flynn. How many of you know Rich? Rich, he used to go to church here. He moved to Mercer Island, so he hasn't been able to make it out. But if I call Rich Flynn or I have a get together with Rich Flynn, he has a son, Ned, and a daughter, Melissa. If I get together with Rich, I'm going to get at least a half an hour of Ned's recent accomplishments, the amazing things that are growing in Ned, or Melissa, just story after story after story, you know, and Ned's 24. I talked to Rich a couple of weeks ago, and at least a half an hour was Ned. And his insights into Ned are very deep. They're not just compliments. He's looking at his character development and all of these things, and you feel this father's delight over his son or over his daughter, Melissa. It's just amazing to experience that. And it never bothers me when I talk to Rich. And in fact, I'm actually thrilled because it reminds me of the father's true heart toward me and the father's true heart toward you. We never grow tired of hearing our father's pride in us, do we? Because we were made actually to feed on that pride. There is a food that passes from father to child that feeds the soul. It's how God designed it to work. And so that's what we see. And psychologists tell us, and scripture demonstrates for us, that validation and identity flow from father to son and from father to daughter. It's the father who bestows the blessing all through scripture. It's the father who gives that food that those sons and daughters' hearts feed on. And even Jesus needed this. we're working through the chapters in the book Insider, which is a book about growing more intimately in your relationship with God. And chapter 8 and 9 is about father and child. And we looked at potter and clay, this relationship. We looked at sheep and shepherd and master and servant and child and fathers where we are now. And look at this in Jesus' life. Matthew 3. And Jesus is the Son of God. He's the you know, begotten Son of God. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him or landing on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son. This is my Son who I love. With him, I am so pleased." What was God saying? "I am, son, I am so proud of you. Even Jesus needed this. There is a some sort of receptor in your soul, in my soul, that's meant to receive this kind of love. That and there's only one source that can really give it, and that is the words of a father. The face and the eyes of a father. And you see it all through Scripture. Identity is bestowed by the Father. In Genesis, Terah names Abram. Abram. Who knows what Abram means? Anybody? Huh? Don't you guys ever read your Bible? Abram means great father. So Terah names his son Abram. You are going to be a great father. See that identity bestowing? And then God comes along, calls Abram to himself, and renames him Abraham. What's that mean? Father of many nations. You're not just going to be a great father. You're going to be the father of many nations, right? And then Abraham has a son in his old age, and God says to what to name him. God says, name him Isaac. Who knows what Isaac means? Huh? Right. It means he laughs. Who's he referring to? Isaac laughs? God laughs. Actually, what happened was God's telling Abraham, I'm going to come back next year. Your wife's going to be pregnant with child. She's going to have a son. And she's in the tent listening in and goes, this is going to happen to me in my old age? And God's like, why did she laugh to Abraham? And so you're going to name him Isaac. He laughs. Basically, God's like, I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to be rejoicing with laughter over this child of promise because my son is going to come from this line. He laughs, right? And then Isaac grows up and marries and has a couple of kids. Remember their names? Jacob and Esau, right? And then Jacob, we follow the story in Genesis, grows up and he marries and he has 12 kids. And the last one he names Rachel in her dying breath, because she's dying in childbirth, names him Ben-Oni. Who knows what that means? Son of my sorrow. And Isaac intervenes and says, no, he will be Benjamin, son of my right hand, the son I'm proud of. It is the father intervenes. It's the father's role in Scripture to bestow identity, to affirm the son or daughter. Eve is the personification of the tenderness and the mercy and the beauty of God. Without her, we would not understand or be able to fathom. I don't think I would be able to fathom God's tenderness without seeing Eve's tenderness. I would not understand what God is like. But it is the Father who delivers the verdict. Okay? Tells the child who they are and what they have, what they're made of. In the book Insider, I tell the story in this chapter about Elliot, my son Elliot, and fixing this pipe. If you've read it or you've heard, been around for a few years, you've heard that story. But I was down in this ditch. A pipe broke right in our water line and had one of those tall water hydrants that, you know, you kind of lift up the handle. And it was a couple feet away and the pipe broke. And so I was digging down there. I was probably this high, you know, the dirt, you know. And I'm down there and I'm on my knees in this mud and the water's there and everything. And I'm trying to cut this pipe off and clean it and glue the stuff on down in the mud and everything else. And I'm by myself and it's not working well. And Elliot's walking by, you know. And I said, Elliot, come here. And he's like, yeah. And he's just probably 7. He's a skinny little toothpick, right? And he walks and he's like, yeah, Dad. And I said, can you hold up that water hydrant, you know? And I'm not paying him $2 for this, using him in this story, because I told him beforehand I was going to tell it. So we have the rule if we use our kids. Anyway, I'll give you $2 anyway. So I'm down there, and so he's like, sure, Dad. And so he holds this hydrant, right? He's straddling this ditch, and he's holding this hydrant up. And he's a little guy, and it's probably 30 pounds, this metal pipe, you know, this big thing on the top. And I'm down there, and I'm dropping stuff, and it's going slow. And he's like, Dad, you know, a couple of minutes go by, and he's like, he's starting to shake, you know, holding this thing, you know, it's heavy. And I'm like, it's okay, son, I'm going to get it here, hang on, you know, and I'm trying to glue it together, and finally I get it glued together, you know, and I put some rocks under it and try to hold it up and everything, and I'm like, okay, you're okay, you can leave. And he's like, okay, and so he leaves, he goes in the kitchen, or goes in the house, and while he's walking away, I said, son, I couldn't have done that without you. And he's like, thanks, Dad, and he walked off. So I go to the kitchen to clean up afterwards, and this is probably 15, 20 minutes later, and Elliot says, Dad, yeah, what? And he said, could you really not have done that without me? What's he asking? Well, that's in all of us, right? Who am I? What do I have? What am I made of? Right? We're all asking that deep down. These are inner thoughts, right? I'm talking about the deep stuff that drives you in your job and drives you to take a position that you maybe shouldn't be taking, but you're doing it because you need that answer. You need that report card. You need that verdict because it's unanswered for you. Maybe it wasn't answered by your dad. And so you're still searching for it. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is asking that question. There's a reason that God has first and foremost referred to himself as Father. Because whatever it means to be a good dad, the clearest picture of God's personality and who he is a good dad. That's the best picture. Okay, there's lots of pictures he's given us. He is potter. He is shepherd. He is master. But I think beneath all of those different metaphors he's given us, Father is the deepest of them. You see, the cross was necessary so that sin could be dealt with once and for all, so that God could be your father, so that he could have you as his child. The cross is like couples who go through the adoption process. It's an arduous and costly process. But is the adoption process the point? What's the point? The adoption, right? The cross is the process. It's not the point. The point of the cross was so he can have you as his child. And if you've given your life to him, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, and you've invited him to be your leader and your Lord, he doesn't see your failures anymore. He doesn't see your sin anymore. Hebrews 10:14, by one sacrifice he's made perfect forever. Those who are being made holy, your sin's gone. And he did it so he could be the proud dad. So that he could father you. So he could say to the angels, did you see what Mark did today? What did he do? Yeah, he said no to Satan's temptation today. Did you see what Sarah did today? She stood up for me at work. I'm so proud of her. That's what his heart is really like toward you. It's the centerpiece of the plan of God. God is, he purchased you, he washed your sin away so that he could father you. So that he could re-father you. With your sin gone, he only sees the daughter he delights in. He only sees the son that he loves. Okay, so I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me, okay? How many of you find it pretty easy to experience and receive that delight of the Father? Okay? Thank you. How many of you are a little more like me and find it very difficult to receive that love and delight of a father? Yeah, it's interesting. I've found it difficult in my walk with God to receive that he feels that way about me. Very early in my learning to listen to God's voice, you know, we've talked about the shepherd and the sheep relationship, right? And how my sheep listen to my voice. And about 12 years ago, I started learning, you know, listening. Lord, I want to hear your voice. What do you want to say to me? And I remember one of the first things he said to me was, Randy, I love you. And you know what my response was? It was like it hit a wall in my heart. And my response was, why? Why do you love me? And I waited for a second. You know what he said? He said, why do you love Elliot? Why do you love Kelsey? Why do you love Abby? Why do you love Lucy? Why do you love your children? And I instantly knew it wasn't because of what they have, their accomplishments. I knew it wasn't because of their successes. I knew it wasn't because of their obedience or their failures. It was because Elliot's my son. He's unique. And he's who he is. This is so critical. Let me ask you, you ever get compliments, but it's hard to believe that it's true? Ladies, you ever hear, oh, you look so pretty today? And you say, oh, thank you. And you walk away. But what do you really believe? Do you believe it? Yeah. I think we have that kind of relationship with God's love. Oh, God loves you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you don't know. It's not, you don't really know it. You haven't experienced it, right? And you're not walking in it. We haven't let it in. This is so critical because you will only, listen to this, you will only experience God as you are able to in your deep heart. So if God did delight in you, did love you, and you can't fathom being loved like that, you just can't fathom it, you will have a hard time experiencing it. Right? But receiving God's love and delight is, letting it in is everything. When you experience the Father just loving you, it changes everything. It settles your heart. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel like you can do anything. It makes you feel filled with confidence, a sense of identity. I am my Father's son. I am my Father's daughter. It makes you feel like royalty. And the stairs, when we talk about the stairs, these aren't a series of steps to claw your way to get to God's love and acceptance. The truth is, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a child of God the moment you receive Christ. You're clay, you're sheep, you're a servant, you're a child, you're a friend and God's bride the moment you give your life to Christ. You're on all the stairs all at once, right? But were you fully surrendered to Jesus? Were you clay, soft clay, the day you invited Jesus into your heart? I wasn't. About a year after I invited Jesus into my heart, I went back to him and said, you can have everything. I'll give you my future, my career. I'll give you my sexuality. I'll give you my what I do with my education. All of that I'll lay down before you. But that took a year, right? It's a process. I had a master's degree in theology before I ever started hearing God's voice. I was a sheep. But I didn't practice my sheep listen to my voice. Does that make sense? The stairs aren't a series of works to get salvation. The stairs are about growth and intimacy. The message of the stairs is you can have more with God. You can have more. There's more. And for so many folks, it's hard to experience God as Father until they take the step to let in his fathering love. Okay? The love and affirmation of the Father. For me, it was difficult because I didn't get a lot of love and affirmation from my father. I didn't have a verdict very different from Indiana Jones there in that scene. I remember, you know, my dad, I remember the times, and probably much like you, the times I remember most with my dad are the times he delivered identity to me, both good and bad. Think back on your dad, and what are the moments you remember the most? For me, it was the times he delivered identity. First, an example of the good. My parents divorced, and so I'd see my dad on visitation, once every week or so, and I was 10 years old, and his starter went out on his Cadillac, and so we went to the auto parts store, bought a starter. My dad wasn't very handy, but somehow, very young, I was. And so I'm under there, and I changed the starter. It was probably the easiest starter on the planet to change, 2 bolts, and but I changed it, and my dad made over me, and this father's delight was there. I can't believe it. It's amazing that you did that. And it worked. Somehow the starter worked. And so you can fix things. You have this ability to fix things. And I remember, wow, that's who I am. I can fix things. And so I actually built an identity there, and I can fix things. In fact, people call me still. And I hate to tell you this, but people call me still. Hey, I need to fix my brakes. Can you help me out? Sure, bring it over. So I have that. Another time I can remember, very important time, on the negative side was, and I've shared this story with you before, but I'll share it again. My mom bought me a mini bike when I was 11, and I was in the living room kneeling down, wiping the headlight, rubbing the headlight of the, this mini bike, and it was, in the living room. My dad comes for visitation, and he walks by, looks over at me. He's on his way to the kitchen to say something to my mom before he took me out. And I said, Dad, look, I got a mini bike, and he just looks at me with this face. He's like, you're so spoiled. And then he walked by. And for me, I didn't have that sort of, he thinks I shouldn't, my mom gives me too many cool things. Maybe I shouldn't have as many toys. It was something, the way it landed was something's rotten. Something is rotten inside of you. Spoiled, rotten. Like stinky, dirty, dark. And all the way up through my adult life, I had this feeling like that was true. And it would play out like I would meet, interestingly, children or animals, if they didn't have a positive response to me, I would think to myself, I know why. They can sense it. They sense it. There's something dark in me. And I didn't experience sort of recovery from that. In fact, I still, honestly, the messages were something's dark and dirty in you and you don't deserve nice things. I still wrestle with guilt and shame over having nice things. I feel I'm embarrassed to have nice things. But one of the steps of healing that I've taken is I began to invite the Lord into these wounds. Actually, I didn't even find that wound until I asked God, how have I been wounded, Lord? If you really have a loving father heart, how have I been wounded in my life? And boom, I am 11 years old in the living room. I can see it like it's yesterday. And I saw my dad's face, and so the Lord revealed that. And the healing that I've received about it is I just invited the Lord, would you, kind of eyes closed, would you come into that scene, that moment, and would you bring me the truth? And all I can tell you is, in prayer, I experienced the Father walk up to me, kneel down, and put his arm around me, this little boy, and say, your heart for adventure and going fast on a motorcycle, all of that desire, I put in you because it's like me. I love those things. And he said, your heart is not rotten. You have a heart to sacrifice for others. And that's the truth about you. And that was healing. Those words from the Father were healing. And you may have had a dad that was 100 times better than mine. You may have had a fantastic childhood. You may have had a father who gave you lots of affirmation and love and told you who you were and gave you the verdict. But here's the deal. No matter how good your dad was, he's not the Father. He does not know how you're uniquely designed. He does not know exactly what your heart needs to hear, but your real Father, your Heavenly Father does. And he has moved heaven and earth. He's moved heaven and earth to re-father you. Okay? So he could give your heart. He did the cross so he could adopt you. And here, let's look at the plan of God. Let me get that slide back up. Rick? All right. All right, there we go. Galatians 4. But when the time had fully come, okay, God was waiting for something, okay? God was waiting for something. He had prepared. When that time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Why? That we might receive what? We've been going to this verse throughout this series because we need to get it. So that you might receive full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. As Jeff Price pointed out, that means daddy. It's very intimate. Okay? Why did God do it? So he could daddy you. Because you didn't get the daddy you were meant to have. And he knew it. So that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. Made you an heir. Okay. We have these walls. And I want to talk just a little bit about that, and then I want to give you some time with the Lord, okay? We're going to spend some time just between you and the Lord. But before we do, I want to talk about that wall. When God said to me, Randy, I love you, that hit a wall in my heart. Are you aware of your wall in your heart with that? To let God's Father love in? There's a wall. Your wall was erected long ago, usually because of the wounds you received. And that wall is what we call the false self, okay? For me, it was something's rotten inside, but you'll want me because I can fix it, okay? So I became a pastor, right? So that's part of my false self, right? You'll want me because I can fix it. What's your false self look like? Because it's in the way of you receiving the Father's love. What do you offer to be wanted and loved? Or where have you just shut it down? I don't need nobody. This is all a bunch of go cry in the corner and be a bunch of whiners. Toughen up. Right? That's a false self. John Wayne is a false self. Okay? All of that is erected to keep the Father's love out, because nothing will transform you more than allowing the Father's love in and allowing him to love you. And so we're going to put on some music, and you're going to see that I skipped a few things in my message here. But there's a couple of steps here that I want to invite you into. We're just going to put some music on. This is going to be time between you and the Lord. And just to start out with, I want to pray for us. Father, father me. It begins with you inviting him to the role he really wants to have in your life. Father me, father. I want you to father me. I invite you to father me. And then it's, how have I been wounded? What false self have I created? Have I been living on? And then the next one is, Father, would you come into my wound? What's the truth and the true verdict on me? How do you really see me? What do you think about me? Okay? So we're gonna just take some time now. I'm going to pray over you. Would you close your eyes? Let's just kick this off by me just praying over you. And I want to sanctify this time right now, okay? So we do. Father, you're here. I know that you're about to move all through this room. And so, Lord, I pray for the hearts of the people who are here. They're ready. They're ready to hear your fathering words. Lord, don't let the enemy hold any of them back. We shut down any resistance from Satan, his demons, this time. Father, and I just want to invite you to pray this to him right now. Okay. You can tell me who I really am. I surrender to you, Father, at the level of my identity. Reveal to me who I am. Show me where I've been wounded. Show me the false self that I've erected, that I've built. And Lord, would you tell me the truth? How do you see me? I'm just going to give you time. We're going to give you 5-10 minutes here just between you and the Lord, okay? So we've got some music that we can bring up on that slide. So let's roll it. You can walk more deeply into this by grabbing the book. In chapter 8 and 9 in the book, there's a real intimate step-by-step journey with the Lord, and you can get one free at the information booth, chapters 8 and 9, where it has prayers in there for you to sort of invite the Lord into fathering you, and then, Lord, reveal to me my wounded areas, and it's much more detailed than we're able to do on a Sunday morning, where you can spend time. There's listening sections where you can, in space for you to write what you hear from the Spirit. And so I just want to invite you to grab one of those books if you don't have one. And if you take this journey, being fathered by God, it will catapult you into a more deep and intimate relationship with God than you've ever imagined that you could have. There's so much more available to you with him than you may know. And so I just want to encourage you, it's worth your time. Get the book, read those chapters, walk through it. It's got all the scripture and the steps to do. And I wish we had the time to do it here. So with that, Zach Price is going to come up, and he's going to share with us a bit about what happened this last weekend or this last week with the junior high. And so come on up, buddy.
Cool. If I could have the ushers come forward, that'd be awesome. So while you guys are getting ready for offering, I have a couple stories to tell you about summer camp. We just got back. Jake Baumgartner was our guest speaker. Jake's right in the back. Jake did an amazing job. Yeah, Jake did a great job. But it was amazing, wasn't it, guys? It was so cool. So I just have a quick couple stories. Wednesday night, we had kind of like our prayer session. We kind of just started praying for each other. Jake spoke, and we kind of just like started praying for each other, and it was really powerful. And Bella Gilreath, one of the students, is she here this morning? I don't think Bella's here. All right, well, anyways, Bella, she came up to me, and she's like, "Hey, Zach, that guy over there needs prayer. I've been praying, and I feel like God wants us to pray for him." I was like, "Awesome, Bella, let's go pray for him." She's like, "No." I was like, "Wait, you're not going to come?" She's like, "No, I'll pray in the back, but you just pray for him." I'm like, "Okay, sweet." So I grabbed a couple guys, and we started praying. And as we were praying, I looked, and I saw Bella in the back, and Bella's like this, lifting her hand out to him. I looked right at her, and I gave her a thumbs up, and she did this. She's like, so she, it was really funny. And that night, we prayed, and that kid accepted Christ into his heart that night. It was really cool. So total, I think numbers are still counting, but we're at 25 students that accepted Christ into their heart at summer camp. Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool. So summer camp was awesome. It was about the treasure within. Maddie Clemens made these t-shirts. Where's Maddie at? Yeah, Maddie made these. So these are awesome. But yeah, summer camp was a blast. One more quick story. I know I don't have much time. One more quick story. One of the leaders for Cascade twisted his ankle, and he went to the hospital, and they said it was broken. So they put like a little boot on there. And I just felt like we should pray for him. So we got all the students. There was 132 students. We all gathered around. His name was Keith. And we just prayed, and I felt like the Lord wanted one specific student to pray for healing for the foot. And this student was kind of giving us some trouble. And so I was like, "Lord, you know, he needs an encounter. He needs something." So the student put his hands on there, and the foot was healed. It wasn't broken anymore. It was awesome. It was super cool. Yeah, exactly. It was awesome. So summer camp was just a huge hit. It was glorious. It really was. So I'm going to pray for the offering, and then we're going to watch some announcements. God, I just want to give our finances up to you, Father. We surrender it to you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord, and I just pray that it'll bless Adventure and it'll bless you, Father. God, thank you for who you are. Amen. Let's watch some announcements.
Good morning. I'm Susan Madera. It's August 23rd, and here are your announcements. Sandlot Sunday's coming up again, August 30th at 1 o'clock, Cherry Valley Elementary. Join us for a hamburger, some great conversation, a bounce in the jumpy house, or a jump in the bouncy house, I don't know. But join us. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Come and have some fun with your adventure family. Mud is supposed to be great for the skin. But if you're not the go-to-the-spa kind of person, I've got an opportunity for you. Join the Adventure Tough Mudder team. On September 19th at 10 a.m., we will be tough muddering. Contact Miles Ulrich at milesu@gmail.com and sign up. By the end of the month, you want to be there. This announcement is for all you guys out there. I need you to grab your bulletin. What? You don't have a bulletin? You didn't get a bulletin on your way in? Well, look around right now. I'm sure somebody will hand you a bulletin, because inside the bulletin is this form, and I need you to fill it out. The men's ministry is getting ready for the new season, and we want your input. So please fill out the survey, drop it in the box in the back of the room, and let us know what you want to see happen in men's ministry this year. And for all you ministry leaders, don't forget, there's a special meeting up the main campus sanctuary at 1 o'clock today. Join us for lunch and this very important planning meeting. See you there. And now, a special message from our lead pastor, Randy Lawrence.
Hey folks, I've got a serious topic to make you aware of. As you may have heard, the Supreme Court this past summer has changed the definition of the family for the United States as we know it, and we believe that the effect of that decision will be wide-reaching in future years in terms of its impact to the church. Your leaders at Adventure haven't buried our heads in the sand on this topic. We have been working on a church-wide response, beginning with the revision of our church's constitution that will reflect our stand on same-sex marriage, sanctity of life, and what it means to be a member here at Adventure. So our first step is to begin with a series of members' meetings and to discuss the changes to the Constitution that we need to make in order to address this significant issue. And then we need to vote on those changes as a church. So we need to make sure that our records are accurate. So in the back of the assembly hall are four sets of membership rosters. And if you believe yourself to be a member here at Adventure, meaning that you have gone through the membership process, you have attended the membership meeting, and you have been welcomed into our fellowship, please check one of those lists today.
That's it for today. Don't forget to check your bulletin. The insert has all the information about today's activities and the upcoming activities, and the Connection Center in the back of the room will give you lots more. And don't forget to fill out a connection card. You'll find them in the seat back in front of you. Have a great day.
Awesome, guys. One quick thing. If you have any prayer, we'd love to pray with you. So right here is our prayer room. There'll be someone right there after service. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you, pray for you. But yeah, have a great Sunday, guys. Never mind. Hold on. I lied. I'm sorry.
And also, one of the things I didn't get in that video, when you check your membership roster list, check and see if you're in there. If you're not, for some reason, and think you should be, make sure you write your name at the bottom of the list, okay? Let us know, and we'll be contacting you just to make sure our records are accurate. We need to get a very accurate membership roster for these next series of meetings that are going to be coming up about our constitution changes, okay? So, thanks. Have a great rest of your day.
His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon Him.